Welcome, guys. Glad to have you. Another beautiful Wednesday night. I'm glad we can be here together. I say it all the time when I'm up here, and I mean it. Wednesday nights with you guys here, studying the Word is one of my favorite nights of the week. So I hope you guys are blessed. I'm glad you made it. Thanks for hopping in the car, being faithful, and coming to church. I know there's a lot of things you could be doing, but we're stoked to have you. If you do not have a Bible, one will be appointed to you. Please raise your hand if you need one. We're going to be in Luke chapter 12. We're going to do verses 13 to, Lord willing, verse 34. So Luke 12, 13 to 34. When you guys are there or ready to go, just say amen. All right. Well, guys, before we get going, we're going to pray one more time. Just that the Holy Spirit would be here and that He'd be honored. Amen. Lord Jesus, we love You so much. You are faithful. You are awesome. You are mighty. You're a righteous judge. Lord, You are so, so loving and good to us, and we do not deserve it. And we just want to say thank You, Father, that You would desire to commune with us on a night like this. So we just pray that as Your word goes out, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would fill this room, would fill the minds and the hearts of the people who came here. Lord, including myself, Lord, would You fill me afresh with Your Holy Spirit? We don't want to hear some new hot thing. We just want to hear truth from Your word. So, Lord, we love You. We give You this evening. Please be over my lips and over my mind as I get to share Your word. Would it be accurate? Would it be loving? We love You, Jesus. Thank You for this evening. In Your name, amen. Amen. So last Wednesday, we had the gentleman's, I forget his name, but the gentleman from Israel who got to share with us. And then the Wednesday before that is when David last taught. So I know it's been a little while. But just a quick recap. Luke 12, we're entering into the final stages of Jesus' ministry on earth. And we just went over verses 8 through 12. And I'm going to just read them really, I'm not going to dive in. I'm just going to read them real quickly just so we get a little bit up to speed here. It'll apply to where we're starting tonight. But verse 8, also I say to you, whoever confesses Me before men, him, the Son of Man, also will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him. Now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Verse 13. Then one man from the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Reading that, it was just, maybe there was a break or a pause, but it's just funny to me that you just get this heavy, big, awesome statements from Jesus, and then this guy, I don't know where, maybe in the back, just shoots up his hand, Jesus, tell my brother to split the inheritance with me. Just went right over his head. I don't know if he wasn't listening or what was going on. The way things were done back in the day is that when brothers would split an inheritance, the older would get 2/3, the younger would get 1/3. So the older would receive more than the younger. It's like 2013. Libby Beal, a freshman, Warrenton High School, Caleb Beal, a sophomore at Warrenton High School, and myself, a senior at Warrenton High School, and almost every day of the week, Monday through Friday, missing some days for sure, we would go over to Grandma's house, and she would make us the full spread. Awesome sandwiches, juice, you name it. But every single lunch, she would make these smoothies. They were awesome. They were so tasty. After just classes and whatever it was, that smoothie hit right on the money. And to me, the eldest, she would give me the largest glass and the most smoothie. And she would give Caleb and Livy, my brother and sister, a good amount of smoothie. But there was no doubting in the room who got the most smoothie. The eldest, 2/3 of the inheritance of the smoothies. That was me. And so you get this picture. That's a silly way of introducing the situation, introducing this guy's financial dilemma. You get the picture of this guy who says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus, tell my brother to go 50-50. I want an honest, right, good split. I want things done properly. Judge this rightly. Hey, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. I love this, but he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Jesus responds to him, "Who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" Basically trying to say, like, why are you asking me to deal with this financial dilemma? I'm not interested. Like, why? That's not what I'm here for. Now, in that time, the religious leaders would handle things like that, disputes. But Jesus is making it very, very clear to this guy. Hey, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And he does something awesome. He gets to the middle, to the center of the issue. Bypasses this guy's financial situation, the looming, "Hey, Jesus, fix this." And Jesus kind of skirts by this guy's request. And we see him do something awesome. 15 again. And he said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." I've heard it said a lot growing up as a pastor's kid, and I don't think it was just dad, probably those before him as well. At the heart of every issue, it's an issue of the heart. This guy, maybe thinking in his own head, convinced himself, or whatever his motivations were, "I want things done justly. Jesus, tell him to split it with me. Make this right. This financial pickle, would you set it straight for us?" And Jesus goes right around it and goes straight to the actual issue. And this guy, and turns to his disciples and those listening, says, "Hey guys, take heed and beware of covetousness." This guy had a heart issue. He was coveting. He didn't want things to be done right. He didn't want truly things to be done properly. Maybe he did in some sense, but the heart of the issue was covetousness. And I think these words right there in 15, "take heed and beware," we need to pay attention to for a brief moment. Covetousness is a tricky thing. I think within the circle of believers, we get a lot of confessing, like, "Hey guys, I'm struggling with this, I'm struggling with that," whether it be lust or, "I'm struggling with this thing," with drinking or with my foul mouth or whatever it is. But one of the things you don't really hear often is, "Hey man, could you pray for me? I'm really struggling with covetousness." You don't hear that often, do you? I sure don't. Maybe you do. I don't want to make assumptions. But for me, covetousness is a sneaky thing that can creep into our hearts and take deep, deep root. It can disguise itself as responsibility, as desiring justice, as a lot of good things, but deep down at the heart of it, it's covetousness. And Jesus is saying, "Hey guys, take heed, beware, big red flag, watch out, heads up, be aware of covetousness." And guys, that to me, we're going to see this a few times in this text, Jesus is going to say some things that are pretty point blank. So if you don't get anything from tonight, a point blank statement here from Jesus is, guys, hey, take heed and beware of covetousness. I'm not alone in it. I'm sure if not a few, all of us in this room have dealt with it. Take heed and beware, amen? I don't want to pound that into the ground too early. Let's move on. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all of my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And those things, oh, and then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" He says, be aware of covetousness. Hey, take heed. And then he gives this parable of this rich man. And a couple of things I just want to point out about this rich man. One, his ground was plentiful. The Lord had blessed his work and the fruit of his labor, his land. All good things come from the Father, amen? The Lord had given good things to this guy. It wasn't a bad thing that he was rich, that he was wealthy. That's not where he blew it. The Lord had given those things to him. Number two, verse 17, and he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?" Though he was wealthy, though he had plenty, it did not get rid of worry or anxiety in him. I think that's an important thing to point out. Though he had a lot going on, he had a lot of things set up for him, it didn't fix worry or anxiety. He still had that well within him, even though he had much. Number three, me. That's why, if you couldn't tell, I do the same thing to Jesse when I read the little beginner's Bible to him. Whenever Jesus' name pops up, Jesus, I try to pronounce it so that he someday, hopefully, hey, I know that guy. But I did that on purpose. This man's heart toward his physical possessions was, what am I going to do with my things, my plan, me, my soul, my things? So we see this guy has a very, I don't know if narcissistic would be the word there, but a very selfish outlook on the things that he was given by the Lord. Does that make sense? So one, this man is not a fool because he's rich, that he had plenty. Two, he still had worry. He still had anxiety, even though he had plenty. And three, it was all about him. Okay, we tracking? 19 was intriguing. "And I will say to my soul," soul, number four here, "you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Not only did this man in his heart believe that his possessions, the things he had, were ultimately his, apparently, in his thought process, in his mind, he believed his own soul was his to command, was his to do with whatever he pleased. There's a lot of good things to take from this, guys. But I find that one to be really, really intriguing, and for me, personal. We may not think we're wealthy here. We might be working really hard for what seems like not a lot, but can I tell you something? If you live here in the United States and Hawaii, you are among the very top percentage of earners in the world. Did you guys know that? Whether you feel like you have much or not, you have a lot. And the easiest temptation with that is to say, what am I going to do with my time and my things? Guys, I believe that is why in verse 21, in verse 20, he's called a fool. It was his things. It was his time. It was his plan. I'm going to build this back better. I'm going to make this farm great again. He was going to do his own thing with his own soul. Guys, we were bought at a price, amen? if you are a believer in Jesus, you are not your own. If you're living your life, if I'm living my life in a manner that says, what am I going to do with my time, my finances, my resources, my marriage, my kids, my cars, whatever it ends up being for you, I want you to see the big red flashing warning sign tonight. I don't mean to swing the hammer on you guys and, hey, you better watch out, but in love, I think we need to be very aware, very in tune with, Lord, am I calling too many of the shots here? Am I taking the reins with the things that you've so amazingly gifted to me? I've known some people in my life who are, to their credit, have much. Even from an average person standpoint, would you consider them wealthy or well off, who are just on fire for the Lord? Who say, you know what? I may have worked really hard for this, but I know ultimately the Lord has given us this money. The Lord has given us these cars, this home. And Father, you are able and willing to do whatever you want to do with it. It's yours. Guys, that also applies to those who maybe in our own heads don't seem to have much. We can be covetous even with little. Amen? This does not apply to the rich. This applies to us as well. To me. Ultimately, in the parable, we find that this man had no control of anything. This night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? I don't think, there's no indication that this guy got to rip down his barns and build them back. I think it was in the thought process. He was worried, he wanted to do this thing, he wanted to build it back better and do his whole deal. And before he could ever get that done, his life was required of him. 21. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Guys, again, it was not that this man and his plans to do cool things and have more storage was what made him foolish. It's not because he was well off that made him foolish. At the end of the day, he was rich for himself, but he was poor and broke before God. There was no treasure laid up in heaven. There was no accounting between him and the Father. So that when he passed, when he could not control, his life was taken from him, he was empty-handed. And the things that he worked so hard for were left behind for the next. It's the old cliche, but you can bury it in your grave with you, but you're not taking it with you. Amen? This may not apply to you guys. But I know for me, this was big, because even though looking at my own life, I'm not balling. But my tendency can be so much to, Lord, if I just had a little extra money, I could finally get my own personal truck. I could do this, I could do that. For what? With what to show for it? With what? If we're not rich toward the Lord, if we're not investing vertically, all of this material stuff it's in the next person's hands. And you're left with nothing. I'm not saying that for this group. I hope that you guys are very rich toward the Lord. So here we go. You have this stern warning. Hey, heads up, we get the parable. You get this picture that Jesus has painted for the boys and for those listening. And they're probably like, well, if the rich man is in a tough spot, then what do we do? 22 to 34, we have the antidote. And this is where I think during my time studying, I was the most the most blessed, the most encouraged. And I kind of debated on how to split it up and break it up But I'm going to read through the whole thing and then I'm going to go back. Is that okay? Guys, join me, Luke 12, 22. Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. Nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Amen. Wow. This, guys, for me, I think is one of the most important and practical sections of Scripture that I think that I've been able to lean on and be encouraged from all the time. It's easy to worry, isn't it? It's easy to be anxious. Lord, you see the bank account. You the first of the month is coming. What are we going to do? There's anxiousness. Lord, there's nothing in the cupboard. How are we going to eat? I don't know if you guys have been in that position. I certainly have. When I first moved here, living in Waimea, there was nights we would sweep the floor for change to hopefully buy a burger from the Muse Den. Just nothing to show for it. But I got to tell you, we ate every night. The Lord provided every single day, day in and day out. Amen? I'm sure you guys can attest to this. God has been so, so faithful with us. Amen? This is not boasting, not saying, look at me, but one thing I think that we've tried to, when we have dinner, sit down as a family and eat and pray for the food, one thing I try to remember is, hey, Lord, you gave us my job. You put food on the table every night. You put fuel in the car. You have allowed us to live with a roof over our head. We have beds to sleep in. Guys, there's so many things in our lives that I think we just look way past. But when the things arise that are troublesome, we forget so easily. Consider the ravens. Guys, the ravens in that time for the Jews, they were an unclean bird. They were dirty. They were gross. For these guys, ravens were like, ugh, unclean, non-kosher. And he's saying to them, if God the Father takes care of the ravens, of how much more value are you? Guys, this is a little off track, but I thought it was an interesting thought. When you don't believe in a creator of the universe, in a God that made you in his own image, you're reduced to this animalistic, disgusting, frankly, primal thought that basically the language in 23, life is more than food. That's the language there. Life is more than like scrounging for the meal. Life is more than just figuring out what you're going to wear. You have and I have an eternal imprint on us, guys. We have the ability to interact, speak with, and have a relationship with God of the universe. And if that God of the universe sees and cares for each bird of the air, guys, it's a matter of faith. You are of vastly more value than a bird. Sounds simple, right? But like I said, when the bills hit and the anxiety, the heart starts beating, Lord, do you even see me? What is going on? We need to remember that we have an incredible value to our Father. Amen. It's not this like, I'm the prize or I'm the treasure in the field mindset. It's an understanding that God loves you. You are the apple of his eye. He died on the cross for you. Is he going to feed you? Is he going to put clothes on your back? These verses say, yes, he will. So I think for us guys, when we get into those situations that are, it's a little tight, it's a little sketchy, and we start to worry, we start to get anxious, Jesus says, hey, do not worry. It's a loving command. We're told, don't worry. And that can be so easily like, okay, Lord, don't worry, I get it, that's loving, that's awesome. And then we worry. We know worry warriors, don't we? We have an amazing promise here from the Lord that we can rely on. 28 is awesome. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? I think it's a faith issue most of the time when we find ourselves worrying and anxious. Now, please understand me. I know that there are hard things. I know that things get tough. And I'm not saying you need to be a stone wall and never be anxious or be worried. Again, this is a loving command. And we serve a gracious and gentle Father that when we do get worried, he doesn't say, stop worrying. But he gently reminds us, hey, Josh, don't worry. It's like if I came home one day from work and I just see my little son, Jesse, just like, hey, Dad, I don't know what we're having for dinner. What are we going to eat? What am I wearing tomorrow? I would look at him and just, dude, what are you talking about? Go to your room. No. It's a silly picture. It's an interesting image, but I wonder if that's how the Father looks at it. I was gone 8 hours that day working hard. Please understand, not comparing myself to God here. But and Jesse's, what are we going to do? As a loving father, Jesse, stop. Stop worrying, buddy. Don't be anxious. You have clothes on your back. You don't need to worry about that. Jesse, there's going to be food on the table. Maybe he'd whisper you, Eric, Justin, PK, Jason, don't worry. I love you. I'm taking care of the grass. I've fed the birds today. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to clothe you. Guys, in a world that is just so materialistic and our whole lives are pushed with advertisements and you name it, it's just your life will not be complete unless you drive this, unless you have this. Oh, that's last year's model. You need this one. It can be so rattling and you seem like you're falling behind and falling out of scope. And the Lord would just whisper to you, hey, your life is more than that. Amen? Guys, if you're caught up in that whirlwind, if you're worried about maybe the business you run or the finances or the food in the cupboard, can I tell you, plug back in. Seek the Lord. Your life is worth more. I don't want to have a lot and then see the Lord and just be bummed out because I didn't invest in the kingdom. And I don't want you guys to be bummed either. 33 I thought was interesting, and then we'll button it up. I can never read that thing. Every time. No shot. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which don't grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroyed. I think a practical and awesome way that we can combat covetousness, that we can combat greed or worry, and I think it's tested and proven throughout Scripture and in our lives, maybe through our own testimonies, give and give freely. Can I encourage you, if you're withholding because you're worried you won't have enough, or if you're worried that the bills won't be paid, can I encourage you, give to God what's His, and if He puts it on your heart, give more. This is so often the hardest thing for us, especially when things are tight. I'm in the same boat. I'm right there with you. It's the hardest thing. But when we make a choice to say, okay, God, I'm investing in what you want to do with this money. I want you to do what you will to do with what I have to offer, what you've given me. This white knuckle grip that we so easily just get into the habit of, I think over time and as we realize, as we put our heart where our treasure is, we can simply trust these promises right here that says, you know what? Lord, you have been faithful. Guys, to encourage you, if you know an area of your life where you're being covetous, stop. Bring that to the Lord. Confess it. Lord, forgive me for being covetous. Guys, if you're a worry warrior, repent. Jesus, forgive me for worrying. Lord, your word says that you're going to take care of me, and I want to trust you. Faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. Guys, if you are ever in a spot like that, crack this passage open. It's going to be awesome. I think you'll find that the Lord does an awesome work in your heart, and I know it's a process. It's a refinement, but I can say that in my life through many seasons, and I know I have much to learn. I know we all do, but in the seasons of my life where I've just been like, okay, Lord, you got it. I'm not going to try to white-knuckle this thing. Can I tell you that 100% of the time He's been faithful? He will never fail. Amen? Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you that you are a loving Father. Lord, I can't even imagine the knowledge you have of every single bird of the air, blade of grass. And you take care of it all. But Lord, you also know the number of hair on all of our heads. Lord, you love us so much. Thank you that we can trust you, Lord. And I know with teachings like this, things like this, you'll oftentimes give us opportunities to trust you, Lord. So I pray that as we grow in this, Lord, that we would just lean on you and not on our own understanding. Lord, that we would just give it up to you. Lord, we pray that you would just reveal in our hearts areas of our lives that we're coveting. It so easily flies under the radar, Lord, but I pray that you give us a softness to see it. Lord, and thank you that you don't smack us over the head with that. Lord, thank you that you just gently draw us back to you. We love you, Lord. Get everybody home safely. In your perfect and righteous name, amen.